All right, now let's go on to the second phase of our teaching, heresies. These are departures from the Christian faith. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, that's with the times in which we are living, some shall depart from the faith. The faith is Christianity. So here are people who have been in the Christian faith and turn away from it. We are not dealing with unbelievers or people who've never made a profession of faith in Christ. We're dealing specifically with those who have professed faith in Christ. It says, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. And then it's the demons, not the people, who speak lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And it gives examples of two doctrines. One is food fads, commanding people not to eat certain kinds of meat. And it doesn't mean meat in the sense of flesh, but it means food. That's Old English. Never let anybody start dictating to you about the kind of food that you're to eat. No pork, no bacon, and all this business. It is not scriptural. Every creature of God is good and to be received, for it is sanctified with the word of God and prayer. Now, the Jews under the law of Moses were forbidden to eat a whole lot of things, but we are not under the law of Moses. There are only four things required of Gentiles who come into the Christian faith. First of all, that we abstain from fornication. Secondly, from idolatry. Thirdly, from things strangled. And fourthly, from eating blood. We are not permitted to eat blood with flesh. That is still out just as much as fornication or idolatry. It's in the same category. This you'll find in the 15th chapter of the book of Acts. But we are not commanded to observe any other of the food rules that were imposed upon Israel under the law of Moses. And any attempt to force you under these food and dietary rules in the name of making you more spiritual is demonic. Now, if you don't like bacon, you don't have to eat it. But don't make a religion out of it. That's all. Have you noticed about health food stores that the unhealthiest people are always there? Did you never notice that? Brother, if their gospel worked, they'd look different. Now, please don't misunderstand me. If you don't like or don't wish to eat certain kinds of food, you are at complete liberty. But don't let it become a spiritual law, because that's the deception. Now, I was on the verge of this, and God yanked me back. I was drinking so much carrot juice, I was turning yellow. literally yellow. And I was talking to a preacher. I didn't regard him as very spiritual. For one thing, he was rather fat, and I have a sort of thing about fat preachers. But and I was telling him how careful I was about what I ate. And he quoted to me, every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused. And oh, how I praise God for that man. He got me out from the very verge of the ditch. And I had enough humility to listen to him. Say, he's right, I'm wrong. Another form of satanic deception mentioned here is the turning away from the normal marriage sex relationship. Do not let anybody fool you into being super spiritual by living an unnatural sex life, because it just isn't right. If you're married, you're married. Totally. Now, I say this because, again, I've seen cases where there was a certain man on the West Coast some years back, a Presbyterian, baptized in the Holy Spirit. He said, now, come on, these Pentecostals, they're not with it. They don't tell you half the truth. I'll tell you how to be a real overcomer. Step number one, you come out and listen to me. That's always step number one. Step number two, you sell what you have. Step number three, you stop living with your wife. And brother, those people ended up one after another in a mental breakdown. So be on your guard. The gospel, rightly proclaimed, is the most normal, healthy, sane thing in the world. Never go off on a tangent in order to be spiritual, because you may be spiritual, but it's the wrong spirit. All right, now let's look in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. I want to go on the theme of heresies. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, that's Israel, even as there shall be false teachers among you, the church, who privily, in a sneaky, underhand way, shall bring in damnable heresies, heresies that bring damnation, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. We are specifically warned that in the church there will be false teachers who in a sneaky, underhand way will introduce heresies that bring damnation to those who teach them and those who believe them. And this has happened and is happening. Now, a heresy means literally choosing. And heresy is, in essence, choosing how much of the Bible you will believe. Every heresy accepts part of the Bible. All heresies claim to start from the Bible. All heresies quote Jesus Christ, but the essence of a heresy is you decide how much you'll believe. God didn't ask you to make that decision, and it doesn't rest with you. God says this is His word, and you better believe it all. Now, the essence of a damnable heresy is summed up in that phrase, even denying the Lord that bought them. It's a denial of the Lord Jesus Christ and His redemptive work on the cross. And any heresy, any teaching under the guise of Christianity that touches the person, the nature, and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ is a damnable heresy. And you better believe that churches which might be called Methodist, Presbyterian, Episcopalian, or any other such thing are literally filled with damnable heresies. And in many cases, it's the ministers who are preaching these damnable heresies. Let me give you an example, and let me tell you what I believe about Jesus. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that He's divine eternally. I believe that He was born of a virgin, that He led a sinless life, that He died an atoning death, that He rose the third day physically from the dead, that He's ascended into heaven, and that one day He's coming again in person just as He was seen to go. Now, if you have any problem about any of those statements, you better check your spiritual foundations. And any kind of teaching that denies any one of those statements is a damnable heresy. And we have been warned, no matter how respectable it may be, the main source of these damnable heresies is the seminaries. They are the actual fountainhead of these heresies. The fact that a man has been trained in a seminary and has three kinds of degrees after his name should be a warning to you to suspect damnable heresies, not to believe what he says. The first epistle of John, chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 through 22. Again, a warning about the last days and deception and error, and a particular spirit of deception, the spirit of Antichrist. Let me say that Antichrist means two things. The word anti means, first of all, against, and secondly, in place of. The spirit of Antichrist has a double work. First of all, it's against Jesus Christ to get Him out of the church. Secondly, its design is to replace Him by the false Christ. Somebody told me the other day, who's acquainted with the person, that the lady in Washington, and I'm not going to mention her name, speaks about the Christ, but you'd better check, because when she speaks about the Christ, she means the false Christ. And this is very prevalent at the moment in most Protestant denominations. The spirit of Antichrist is at work getting Jesus out of the way. I have friends in Methodist churches, and I'm not attacking Methodists, but they just happen to be Methodists. They tell me, in our church, Jesus is a dirty word. You can speak about Socrates, Buddha, Plato, Martin Luther King, it's perfectly all right, but don't talk about Jesus. That is the spirit of Antichrist. It's getting Jesus out of the way. What these people do not realize is that's only the first step. The next step is to put the false Christ in his place. And the scripture indicates that millions and millions of people will shortly be deceived by the spirit of Antichrist. You better be sure you aren't going to be one of them. Now let's read about it. Little children, 1 John 2:18. It is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, a mark of the last time, whereby ye know that it is the last time. They went out from us, they started with the Christian church, they all do, they all claim to be Christians, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. This is typical. Every Antichrist starts in some way in association with the Christian church, then goes out. And without being in any way controversial or personal, we have had the most remarkable demonstration of this in the person of Bishop Pike, who began in the Christian church a keen preacher of Jesus, was confronted very closely by one of his closest workers and by Dennis Bennett and others with the truth of the baptism in the Holy Spirit, rejected it, turned away from it, and moved into the only other main spiritual field left, the spiritual field of the occult and satanic power, and ended up with a death very similar to that of Judas Iscariot. Remember, the only two persons who are called the son of perdition in Scripture are Judas Iscariot and the Antichrist. And each of them begins in the church. Going on reading. But ye have an unction, verse 20, an anointing from the Holy One, and ye know all things by the anointing. The Spirit of truth in you should tell you what's true and what's false. It should answer to the truth and reject false. And you better have that alarm clock inside you really well wound up, because you're going to need it. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth. He's not writing to unbelievers, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. What's the truth? The Word of God. Anything that conflicts with the Word of God is a lie. Verse 22, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Notice, he does not deny God, but he denies the relationship within the Godhead of Father and Son. And basically, he denies that Jesus is the Son of God and has come in the flesh. Turn to 1 John 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. A false prophet is a person with a false spirit. See? No prophet operates in his own spirit. That is not a prophet. A true prophet operates in the spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. A false prophet operates in a false spirit. Therefore, when you meet a prophet, try the spirits. Is it the spirit of God or is it a false spirit? And if it was true then that many false prophets are gone out into the world, it's 10 times truer today in modern America. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist whereof ye have heard that it should come. It's very easy. Does the spirit, does the person confess that Jesus, the Messiah, has come in the flesh? If so, it's of God. But any person that denies that Jesus, the Messiah, has come in the flesh is motivated and controlled by the spirit of Antichrist. Now, if you deny that Jesus was born of a virgin, you deny that he is the Messiah, because the Messiah had to be born of a virgin. This is the spirit of Antichrist. All right, that's the spirit of Antichrist. The spirit of heresy and seducing spirits, and they all center around the truth about Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you have come under the influence of any teaching that in any way touches upon the person, the nature, or the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, you had better get clear. Loose your spirit and clear your mind from these poisonous lies of the enemy and come back to God in repentance. Bow at the foot of the cross and ask Jesus to take you back.